B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
So Drew's in a different position than anybody else. The Giants have moved on from Eli. The Chargers moved on from Phillip Rivers. Brady has a choice. He's going to want to go. Breeze, it's Saints or nobody. And Sean Payton's already said, yeah, if he wants back, he's back. Like, it's not a question in his mind. It's just the question of what Drew wants to do. They do have their quarterback of the future on the roster, too. That quarterback will be Taysom Hill. Taysom, they believe, is a franchise quarterback. And especially, you've seen what, you know, Lamar Jackson's been able to do. So they think they have him there. But Sean has been very, very clear. If Drew wants it, like, we want Drew. We still want Drew as long as Drew wants to go. So this isn't a situation like the other guys where they're kind of pushing him out the door. They're welcoming him with open arms if he wants to come back.
That's Jay Glazer yesterday. Situation like the other guys where they're pushing him out the door. Definitely that's Eli. But presumably that's Rivers. Is that also Brady? Is that what he's referring to? And when he says Brady has choices, Jinky thinks the Patriots are one of them? Because, I don't know, like, I sort of hear that. It's like, yeah, he can choose between the Chargers and the Raiders.
He still chooses the Patriots, so yes, I think the Patriots are included, yes. Because with Tom, there's always the element of the Patriots are going to make some offer, right? They're going to make some offer.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he always has the option to take it. It might not be a good option, but they're not just going to let him leave without making an offer. I'd have a hard time. That would blow their cover.
Okay, so all this stuff just to reset, again, especially the Giardi thing. Murray, you think he's gone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I thought that for a little while now. And it seems like with Phillip Rivers now officially out of L.A., that feels like that's the logical landing spot, and if not there, then Vegas. But I think that this thing's at DEFCON 4.5 right now. You know, we already have things leaking out in terms of information and information trading on Brady, and I think by the end of the week, it's just going to be even more nuts.
Okay. I mean, I think he's gone. I do. I was there at the beginning, you know, in that spot, I mean, at the beginning, thinking he's out of here once they took that franchise tag element off the table. And the farther we get along in this thing, I don't think they want him back.
Let me tell you,
I don't think they want him back.
One thing I'm picking up from the national guys, a lot of the guys that we talked to, they're behind the story. Like, they look at it from the big picture, from 10,000 feet, and say, Brady's not leaving New England. That just doesn't sound right. And they're not up on all the details, and they haven't wrapped their heads around it like we have, which I think we all start in that place. There's no way he's leaving, right? And then you hear, oh, the kids are gone. Oh, the wife is gone. Oh, he didn't ask to be franchised. You know, just sort of like, but I think the national guys are a little bit behind it because they can't.
Well, because it's such a localized thing, and maybe it's leaking from Tom or maybe even Giselle to, you know, those that cover the team, or maybe those that know Giselle that maybe work in media in the city. I don't know. But I'm starting to think that a lot of this stuff, whether it's, you know, the rag last week with the separation and it's over, and the Connecticut house, and, you know, the Vegas stuff, maybe them looking at a house. Like, I think that's all coming from them. They're putting it out there.
Okay, so either the national guys are just behind the story, or we're dead wrong.
Because it lights a fire under the Patriots' ass, because I think it's posturing. And him even in doing the whole, you know.
Well, I mean, he didn't plan anything with Brandon Lang. I mean, Brandon Lang, here's that. Tom and G don't have a relationship with Brandon Lang.
All right, so that one's a little bit off the reservation. But the other stuff, I don't know, especially the tabloid stuff, I don't know. I think it's them trying to light a fire under the Patriots' ass, saying, like, oh, no, we're really willing to leave here. We're going to go. There's other options, so pony up.
I just look at the facts. Eliminate all the rhetoric for a minute. Give me 2 seconds here. Take all the Brandon Lang and Mad Dog Ruth. Take all of that out. They've had a chance to sign him forever. I mean, they've had a chance to sign him for how many years now? Two, three?
Three.
Going back to Garoppolo, they haven't given him an extension. They made him play for incentives 1 year, for crying out loud. He asked to have the franchise tag removed, and they granted it. They're headed to a breakup. I just look at when you eliminate all the noise and just look at the timeline and how things have changed, everything points to a breakup. Everything.
Your thoughts. Stephen Quincy, go ahead. Steve!
Hey, yeah. Yep.
Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, so Taysom Hill, do you guys realize he's 29 years old? If he's not ready to start now, when is he going to be ready to start? When he's 35? He doesn't have that much longer.
Holy crap, he's 29?
I'm going to look that up.
I mean, I knew he'd been around a little bit. He was a backup, I think, in Green Bay. But 29 years old?
Wow.
I mean,
I didn't know that.
I mean, I used to look at him as really raw. I liked. I'm entertained by the guy. I thought he'd have a long term future. But for New Orleans to be ready to go all in on Taysom Hill, and Jay Glazer says, you know, the Ravens have Lamar Jackson. They have Taysom Hill. So they see him as a Lamar Jackson kind of guy and that kind of weapon.
He'll be 30 in August.
Jesus! I had no idea about that.
He'll be 30 in August. Who would you rather have, Taysom Hill at 30 or Brady at 43?
Brady. 43,
me too.
Of course. We've got Cam and Taunton. Hi, Cam.
Mike, listen to me. If Brady leaves, it's over.
No, it's not.
They are winning. If Brady's gone, they are winning at most six games next year. Who do you think Bill Belichick is? Like, is he some wizard who can go get 12 Home Depot cashiers, put them on the field, and win 12 games with them?
Yep.
Mike, it's over. If Brady leaves, it's over.
You're wrong.
I think he's right. But I did win eight games, not six.
Eight and eight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Only because of the schedule.
The division. And right, the schedule's hard. If it wasn't the schedule, if it wasn't the schedule that they had, it'd be 11 or 12 wins.
You're delusional.
Oh, God.
You are. You're delusional.
So thirsty to get on that boat.
That schedule's got 8-8 written all over it. See, you want, what do you want to go, boobs out in the Bahamas with Belichick?
I'm going to help him rename the boat.
Yeah.
Stu, what's the new name of Belichick's boat with me?
Hush Money?
No.
No, the facilitator.
The facilitator.
Yeah. I think you should name it Boobs Out.
Jim in the car. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, guys. You know, I think when they basically took the franchise tag off of him, that was the beginning of them letting him go. And at this point, it's just basically a business decision. Whether or not he's going to take $20 million from the Patriots, and it's a process of elimination. Vegas is out of there, and the reason Vegas is out is because they have 10-year leases that are sold for luxury boxes and seats already, so they don't need that, and I don't think Gruden needs it. However, LA, the Chargers, they need that. It makes so much sense for them to sign him.
Okay, so I understand that Vegas has the seats sold. They still want to.
Yeah, they want buzz.
They still want to make an impact. I mean, they didn't want to be sold out and go 6-10. You know, they put a ton of money into John Gruden. Okay, I think I'm not sure what Bill's contract is, but I bet Bill's contract says I always have to be the highest paid coach in the league, and it resets every time someone signs. But I bet Gruden, it was like $100 million.
Yeah, for 10 years.
10 years, $100 million.
10 years, $100 million. So why are you going to sign John Gruden to 10 years, $100 million? And then have a piddler quarterback or a 6-10 team and just ride that because you've sold out your seats? No, they're in. They're going.
So I'll tell you what, that's a great point, though, about that contract. 10 years and $100 million for the coach who hadn't been in the league in how many years?
More than a decade, right?
And they're going to stop short of giving
cheap out on the quarterback?
Of giving Tom Brady 2 years and $60 million?
Come on.
Which, by the way, just given what the Raiders did with the coach, doesn't that tell you, too, that the Chargers would do with the quarterback? Like, the point being is, that's nothing in that league. $30 million, whoa. They can do it in a heartbeat.
Paul in Abington on the other piece of breaking news today with the Patriots. Dante Scarnecchia, your thoughts, Paul?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I was on the side that I was convinced Brady would be back. I'm now changing my decision only for the mere fact that if Scarnecchia is retiring, regardless that he's 72 and has done it a long time. I just figure if he thinks that Brady might have another year or two or three left, he'd stick around for that. But he must have some insight as to, that's what I believe right now. Brady's not coming back, so that's why Dante retired. So now I'm on that other side.
Okay, Paul, thanks for the call. So that's another way we were looking at in terms of Brady before. Would Brady come back if he has to break in another new offensive coach? Not an offensive coordinator, but there's a new, line coach, and that just sort of adds to the uncertainty here. Look at it from Scarnecchia's view. What if he knows that next year it's Jared Stidham or Andy Dalton or someone, and he's like, I'm not.
I wouldn't put it past him. I'm not working with this. The hell, I'm out of here.
I'll build a line for Tom because I've been working with him forever. I know he'll help me, and he'll make my line better, but I'm not going to bust my balls for Marcus Mariota.
No, so this I asked earlier whether the timing of it was curious, and I didn't even mean as it pertained to Brady. I just meant maybe Scarnecchia is coming off a bad year, and he looks at the guys on the line and says, these guys suck. I'm not coaching them, man. And said, forget it. I couldn't get through. I'm done. But you add in the Brady element, too, and like, I mean, Scarnecchia's been around a long time. He knows when the time is right to leave. I don't know. I come back to the same thing. There have been a lot of upheaval there in the last year. A lot of people have left.
Last couple.
Well, right, exactly.
Coach, if you add the last 2 years together, it's like 80% of the staff.
Right, so I mean the last two off seasons, you know, full year. Like, that's something. The fact that all those people have left is something.
Tom and Quincy, quickly.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, real quick, this is the kind of calls I'm resorted to in the past on them Super Bowl week, but when I saw Freddie Kitchens got hired, right, by the Giants. So listen, Mike, and this is just off the top of my head when I saw this. What the hell happened to the Giants? Okay, because not that I care, but this is going to be entertaining as hell all year. So they hired the special teams coach, never coached any high in the pros, to be the head coach of the Giants. What's he do? He hires Jason effing Garrett as his offensive coordinator. Then they turn around. Now, they're in charge of a 23-year-old second-year first-round quarterback, and then they put Freddie Kitchens on the same offensive staff as Garrett. So if you were assembling a team, are you going to take the two coaches that were in charge of two of the most prolific offenses going into the season that both didn't make the playoffs, both sucked, and both got fired? Where's your plan, New York Giants?
He's forgetting another guy that got hired there. Brett Bielma.
Bielma, who just drove away two of your best defensive linemen.
Or Joe Judge, who was in charge of the wide receivers. Like, start there. They all suck.
They're the Avengers. True. They're like the moron Avengers. And that's why you can take that team.
The league of moronic coaches.
Take that team off the board when it comes to Brady. Because they're like, okay, he can mentor a young quarterback. He ain't going there with that collection of losers.
It's so true.
No shot.
The moron Avengers, Captain America, Iron Man,
Joe Judge, Freddie Kitchens,
Brett Bielma.
They all try to high five and miss.
But think about it. Freddie Kitchens.
Hawkeye.
Freddie Kitchens went from coaching the running backs in Cleveland, which is like you're coaching a three-person position group. It's like with no scheming, really. I mean, just see the ball, see the hole, run the hole.
You know, go that way.
Run. So he coaches three guys. Then he becomes a head coach in charge of the entire building. And then his next job is to coach tight ends where you're coaching two guys, at most three. Where does Freddie Kitchens really... But can you imagine that arc to going from the most meaningless positional coach to the in charge of the entire building back to being one of the most meaningless assistant coaches on the staff?
It's like the rise and fall of Alex Cora.
It's like, out loud. It's exactly what he deserves.
Oh, my gosh, really?
That man should coach no more than 2 to 3 people at a time.
4th and 9, he ran a draw play. And incredibly, it was the second stupidest play called by a coach in the NFL this year. Freaking Bill O'Brien. But that's another story.
All right, we continue with your calls on Brady's future, plus the latest motivational text from Belichick to Brady coming your way next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Convention Center, presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And now, Felger and Maz present another motivational Super Bowl text from Bill Belichick to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yo, fam. High key. Thought you killed it last night. 5 exclamation points. Fire emoji. Hard eyes emoji. Poised and professional. And you looking Gucci. Football emoji. Devil emoji. Got me finna watch your first game versus Cardinals and get all the feels. Eggplant emoji. Water emoji. Send.
So that's Murray's latest. You know, Belichick and Garoppolo are texting buddies. What does it mean, high key?
You want everyone to know. Like, low key is low key.
High key.
Yeah, high key. That's what's amazing to hear these Belichick texts. He's very plugged in with, you know, hip-hop lingo and how kids today are texting. I didn't think that he'd be using phrases like, you're looking Gucci, like you're looking really good. But Bill Belichick, hip, who knew?
I don't understand what any of it means.
Well, that's...
Go ahead, Lothy. Just send it in here. Maz wants his football.
So we need this for a commercial break.
Why?
I'll tell you later.
You've taken your pictures next
to the people
garage.
Have heard
No, we really haven't, though. We got to refine them a bit.
Okay. All right. Anyway, speaking of Garoppolo last night on the first night thing, he talks about receiving some texts, not from Belichick, but from guess who?
Yeah.
Jimmy, do you have that sound?
Has Tom Brady reached out to you and given you any kind of advice about this week?
Yeah, he shot me a text, just, you know, good luck and everything like that, and just go handle business. It wasn't too complicated or anything. Just, you know, go win.
Wasn't too complicated, meaning wasn't too nice or involved. No emojis.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the equivalent of, yeah, good luck, good win.
Yeah, it was good luck and then the eye roll emoji. Like, ugh.
Good luck, period, send. Good win, period, send. That's it. I mean, that's what's coming from Brady to Garoppolo.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Again, it was like he probably sent it because he had to, for crying out loud. I mean, maybe it's that time of year again anyway where he destroys his cell phone. So, right, he wanted to get it, you know, get it out there, get rid of it, get rid of all evidence, because, you know, I know that's part of his routine to destroy the cell phone.
Ever had that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, I thought Jimmy hit the wrong button. That's actually the caller. Woody and Lowell. Woody, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi.
How you doing, boys?
Good, man.
Hey, I don't think it's the end of the franchise if Tommy Boy flies the coop. I don't believe he's going to fly the coop, but I don't think... It's the end of the franchise.
Woody, it's definitely not the end of the franchise. You understand what is left is the greatest coach in NFL history.
I agree with you 100% on that.
Okay, babe. Well, so there's the deal. There's the rub. And my issue is that the longer you give Belichick, the more runway you give him on the next quarterback, the longer your run with Belichick will be, and the better you'll be set up when he leaves as well. Because to me, the rubber really meets the road when both are gone. That's when you'll really know, and that's when we'll really be facing the
suck.
The tsunami that apparently we're getting here down in Miami after that earthquake. Like, that's when you're facing, that's when the rubber meets the road.
Absolutely. I mean, once you take both of them out of the equation, then you're, you know.
So maximize Bill's window. This is my point. Maximize Bill's window. And I think you do that by giving the most cracks at quarterback and the longest runway at quarterback and that. Never mind the fact that Brady's not invested like he used to be. This whole arc of the last couple of years here in Brady hasn't been great, hasn't been getting better. It's been getting worse. So for him to come back and reverse the whole thing, a lot of things have to change. And I'm not sure if either side's in position to do it. I mean, especially now if Giselle lives in Greenwich or New York, and the kids are enrolled in wherever, and they're officially gone. Brady wouldn't go work out with the young quarterbacks in April when he lived in Brookline. There were pictures of him dinking around Pine Mattress with Amendola and, I guess I'm not supposed to say that, Manor, sorry. He was hanging around, you know, he wouldn't go to Foxborough when he's in Brookline. He'd go work out in Foxborough at TB12 and wouldn't go into the stadium. Okay?
Correct.
Now he's going to show up here when he lives in Greenwich? I don't see that. So how's that going to get any better? It's like, so this is just, they're not done if Brady leaves. They're not. If Brady and Bill leave, then we can talk. They might be. But if you give Bill enough time to set it up for the next thing, then I think that's your best chance. Bob is in Ashland on line one. Jimmy, I froze up. If you could pop him up on Dante Scarnecchia. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, guys. I know it's early on, but I think you're kind of selling short the departure of Scarnecchia, because quarterback, for the large part, is only as good as the protection. And our old line right now has Cannon, who's way past his prime, Tooney, who's probably going to go for big bucks, our starting center, who has blood clots in his lung, fullback with a neck injury, and no tight ends. How is Scarnecchia or even Brady supposed to get excited about what the hell that might look at next year? Because look how long we waited and then threw in Marshall Newhouse. Well, I'm interested in your take.
Yeah, I mean, it's – so just again, take it from Brady's perspective. We had a good offensive line, and even they sucked last year. Now we're going to lose our best guy, Tooney. I still don't know what my center is going to look like, and I'm not going to have Dante Scarnecchia there to figure it out.
Yeah, alarming. Again, if you're Brady, I'd be concerned about that. And look, it is only late January here. If they're built that way in July, then I think we can all worry. So there are going to be changes on the offensive line. There have to be. And I have faith that Belichick will address most of the personnel shortages on the team. So, Brady can't go in thinking this exact roster is going to be what he gets. But given the history of them leaving him shortchanged in certain spots, I don't think he can have full confidence that they're going to address every one of them either.
Chris and Raynham. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. I've always been a big proponent of the Jimmy Garoppolo trade, but it completely defeats the purpose if we get rid of Brady 2 years too early. The whole plan was we get 5 more years of Brady in exchange for 10 years, more years of Garoppolo. You say you have all this faith in Bill Felger over the next few years to build a team. Look at the team that he built this year. He put all the faith in the defense and nothing in the offense, and it failed them. Also, look at the decisions he made this year. 4th-and-3 to end the season and you never get the ball back, punting at midfield. That's a Jeff Fisher. That's a loser coach move. Why do you have so much faith in him after the last few years?
Okay. I would start that answer by saying, did this year really suck? Because if you think this year really sucked, you people suck. You suck. I'm sorry. You're a bunch of a-holes and babies. You went 12-4, you won your division, and you were one drive away from hosting, from having a bye and hosting in the second round of the playoffs. You know how good that is?
Yeah, it was hollow. I'll wear that badge. Okay, but a-holism.
Okay, but Murray, what are you expecting to be every year? I mean, this the run you've been on is not normal. It doesn't happen. It's not going to happen again. So, they suck. Oh, you want that again? 12-4, win the division, be one drive away from being a bye team. Yep. Yep, I do want that again. I'll take that every single year. If that's my team every year, I'll be happy as a clam. Because sometimes you will get that stop on that last drive against Miami. And then sometimes you will have the bye. You will have the home game. And the next thing you know, you'll be in the conference title game. And you may not even fully deserve it, but you'll be. If that's what you are, oh my God, Boston, take it and run. Take it and thank your lucky stars. That last year's suck is what you end up being. Because if that's what you end up being, you are in great shape. My God, you people. Seriously, how spoiled can you be?
Very. And it's certainly better than 5-11, but this year, that 12-4 record, it was hollow with those teams that they beat up on the first 8 weeks of the season.
Give me a hollow 12-4 any day. Like, I feel myself doing it with the Packers a little bit. It's like, they suck. They went 13-3. They won their division. They went to the NFC title game.
Yeah, but deep down, you also knew that was fake, too. You said you found yourself doing it because you knew what they really were.
It's not fake. If that's what you do and your season extends to one game before the Super Bowl and you get that whole season, you get all those wins, and then you get to go 4 weeks into the playoffs, oh, my God, take it. Take it, Murray. Take it, Boston. I mean, that's good. And if that's what they are, then believe me, you're in great shape. You should thank your lucky stars that's what you are. So, my God.
It's not just dawning on you now that people are spoiled, is it?
Oh! Bro, well, you want to be what they were last year? Yeah. 12-4 winning the division? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly what I want to be.
So the standards here are out of whack, though. You know that. I mean, they're completely out of whack. So what they need is, they need a good 6-10 to snap them out of it, and then they'll awaken to the reality that,
Well, 12-4 and winning the division, it doesn't suck.
Sure.
Here comes Murray's update. When we come back, we'll just discuss a little bit what we got on our plates tonight.
Oh, what day is it?
Which is the annual Drink Your Face Off, and if Murray hands it to you, don't take it. Super Bowl Spectacular, also known as
Super Tuesday.
It's the one night of the year where Felger and Maz as a show go out and
Super Tuesday.
I acquiesce to having some kind of fun. It almost always ends poorly for me. But the night is at hand. And we'll just discuss it quickly.
No urine test next week.
When we come back after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger Naz
are live from the Miami Convention Center. Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Real quick, Jim in Manchester, what do you got for me, Jim?
Hey, how much did you drink last night?
If you saw how much I drank, you would be... What makes my condition day so embarrassing is how little I drank. That's the story.
I would agree.
It's not that
lightweight.
Not the way I feel today, which is clownish. My hangover is almost clownish in its intensity. I feel like absolute ass.
You look worse.
If you saw what I drank, just a couple Miller Lights.
You can't mix, especially past age 35. You can't go beers. Now I'm going to have brown liquor.
I'm going to have brown liquor, brown liquor.
One brew.
I'm going to have brown liquor, brown liquor.
One sky.
Now I'll go back to beers.
One beer.
And then all of a sudden, you're a complete disaster.
You jackass. You're going to pound beers all night and then switch to liquor and think you're going to survive it?
We're playing a little hurt.
So that was last year, which wasn't good.
That was the best of them all. I don't think last year can be topped.
I feel bad for the poor Uber driver. That poor bastard. I wasn't even around for it. How about that guy?
Murray, didn't I open the door?
Yeah, he's still splattered all over the side of the car, though. That was the problem.
Poor guy trying to earn a few extra bucks at night. Ends up with you in the backseat blowing cookies all over the place. That's terrific.
So, it's true, I can't drink. But every year I try with Murray. Every year we go out. This is the night, Super Tuesday. And, there's usually a few extracurriculars here from Dr. Death at the end of the table here. So that...
The problem is it's the switch into the hard liquor. Even I've found that for myself now. Like, you just got to have like one drink to start and then just go to beers.
Yeah,
just
so that's it. I got a plan of attack. So here's the problem. We're going to the Celtics game.
We are, yeah.
And then we're doing a late dinner. On South Beach.
Yay, dinner.
South Beach style, right? You go out to eat at 11:30 at night. Okay, so that's sort of the plan.
Where they're going
to
look at eight dudes walking in and say, yeah, good luck. We're going to sit you near the dumpster.
Yeah. A scruffy us, yeah. You know, like you, me, Murray there, and Beetle, and all these guys walking in. It's like, okay.
And remember that aside from the game and, you know, the alcohol, there will be some of, as you said, Murray's homeopathic remedies.
Right, so it'll be a mangy crew, not exactly South Beach styling, you know, Boston styling. And so, you know, we're down here, so I figure we go to foo-foo places. These are fancy foo-foo places.
This is what you do
fancy, but yeah, you know, they're like she places. So we'll be a little out of place. But anyway, they moved the start time of the Celtics game back, which is like... That scares me a little
bit. Oh, yeah. No, that's bad news.
Now there's, like, more time. There's more. That means a couple more to fill that. It was going to be 7:30, and now it's 8?
Yeah,
right, because the Lakers-Clippers game got postponed.
So we're going to go right now for a little pregame. Now there's an extra half hour there. There's a couple extra there. Then there's a couple extra at the game, or, you know, it's just like...
more time for it to go
I hope we're not on camera. And like, then, I don't know where the seats are, but like...
And then dinner's at 10:30. So is that good or bad that we're going to go late
I think it's...
It'll slow me right down?
I think it's good. And there's actually odds on this from one of the bankroll boys, Dan Lifshatz, who tweeted minus 220 that Felger pukes, plus 175 that he doesn't. And I like that plus 175. Look, I know I'm in charge of this. There's a high expectation to bury you. Some employees of the station have texted throughout the day, like, bury him tonight. Get him. Zoe's tweeting about it. And I'll tell you, with the late dinner... I don't know. I don't see it. Like,
no, I don't know.
Is that good or bad for me?
I think it's good for
you. Is that a stabilizing influence?
I think so. You get like...
Depends what the game's like.
Yeah. You get that meat in you around 11 o'clock. Like, I think you settle down.
I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm telling you what I'm going to do right now.
Or...
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do right now. Okay? Whatever you give me, I'm going to take half. Okay? So whatever it is, it's half. I'm not taking what you... I'm going to cut it in half.
Okay.
Whatever it is. We're going to start with two margaritas because I'm a sucker for the down somewhere warm.
It's on you.
Rocks and salt. Okay. No more than two. And then it's Miller Lite the rest of the night. I'm not going to have any wine. It's going to be Miller Lite the rest of the... That's it. Okay, so I just gave you the game plan.
How big are the margaritas?
Whatever Murray, hopefully they'll be in a tall glass, and that's that. I'm not going like the big,
Tuesday in Minneapolis was where at the dinner, you got a pint glass of tequila.
There was some straight tequila. Yeah, that was wrong. That was steak.
That was also a vomit night.
That was a mistake.
I like that night better.
I'm going to send this out again. My thoughts and prayers and full support to the cleaning staff at the W Hotel in downtown Minneapolis. That was...
like a hose.
That was bad.
Dude, I booted in Minneapolis.
But I didn't. I made quite the mess.
Oh, no. I don't mean booted took off.
No, you booted took off last year.
Well, last year I scooted out of there. Oh, yeah. I saw you two running towards a brick wall. I said, see you later. I'm out of here.
So a half of whatever it is.
Okay.
Two margaritas and then light beer, American light beer the rest of the night. If I can't handle that, then I truly suck.
Well, you got to promise to have the other half, though.
Oh, no. No, that's all I'm saying. I'm just going to do your half. And maybe I'll even quarter it. And then if you want me to do something later, then the other quarter. I'm not taking the full Murray dosage.
Yeah, that'll work.
That ain't happening.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I'll tell you, it's too bad that... I mentioned this earlier, and we haven't really hit on this, that Boston has missed Miami as a Super Bowl site. Like, for all the Super Bowls we've been to, which have been, if you go back, if you want to dial it all the way back to 85 and that first run with Raymond Berry, and some, most of us have been, Patriots fans are in town that long, nearly that long. I came a few years after that, but certainly there's people who've been going to Patriots games since then. So if you dial it back to 1985 and that team's run, there have been 11 Super Bowls. We haven't been to Miami once. Boston has not been able to come down to Miami and, roll in and take over Miami and appreciate this place for one of these games. And it's like there have been more Super Bowls in Miami than any other city.
Yeah, 11. Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah, and in the process have also gotten some dog food venues.
And in the meantime, they give us Minneapolis. They give us Atlanta. They give us Jacksonville. They give us Houston, effing Texas, twice. They give us Indy. Which actually wasn't a bad place once you got there, but it ain't exactly South Beach. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest.
Theoretically, right? That's not a place that should have a Super Bowl.
I'm not putting the show together next to the pool like I was today in my robe. Okay, so no, that's not that. I'm not doing that in Indianapolis. So there's been more Super Bowls at Miami than any other city. We've been to effing 11 of them, 9 just in the last this century, and not once does Boston get to come down here in their jorts and sell them out of Bud Light. That's criminal. That's not right.
The thing should only rotate in 4 cities. Here, New Orleans, L.A., Vegas. That's it. That's where the Super Bowl should be.
I'm sort of Murray on that one. That makes too much sense.
So the Super Bowl site has to give you either one of two things. One is a good location, meaning a tight city and a sort of a centralized location.
That's why New Orleans is the best.
Where you can walk. Okay, so what I mean is a walkable footprint. So you have to give me that, or... You can send me to a hellhole, but if it's warm, fine. Tampa. Okay? Tampa.
That's a hellhole.
Next year's Tampa. Tampa is another anus of America, but we'll be walking around in shorts all week, which is fun. When you're bringing people from out of town, at least most of them are going to be coming from colder climates. Let them warm up for a week. Okay? Or... give us a tight footprint, which is what Indy ended up being. Indy was a good site because you never had to get in a car. It was all in downtown. It was a decent little city and fine, but still not a great location. Atlanta, Minneapolis, like these hellholes.
Oh, God, please. Like, we didn't even get New York either. I thought New York was okay.
That was fine. You absolutely have that tight little footprint.
Because you got plenty of stuff to do, too, so I was okay with New York. But some of these other ones, good God. Again, I might as well go up to Route 1.
Jesus. This is a good spot.
Oh, this is excellent.
This is a good spot. This is a good spot. All right, so anyway, there's your Super Tuesday setup. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Let me just take one more call before we get out of here.
Imagine Felger after those margaritas under the basket.
John in Tingsboro.
Yeah, Butler, you suck.
Go ahead, John. What do you got?
Hey, guys. I think it's fair to say over the past 20 years, the success of the Patriots organization can be largely attributed to Bill Belichick, his coaching style, his skills, his talent. But over the next few years, is he the guy that is really going to lead the team, continue to lead them as successfully? I think he showed him his weaknesses this year. I think he was outcoached on more than one occasion. And if I'm Kraft, I'm concerned about who the next coach is going to be.
So you're breaking up. Bill had a bad year. He had a bad year as a GM, really, as much as anything.
Did he have a great year as a coach?
No. I mean, he was okay. He was just there. You know, I mean, I don't think he – I mean, how many games did they – you know, week 16 against Buffalo, it's like, wow, there it was. Great scheming, great coaching. Like, you felt it was there, and then they fell apart the next two. So I can't – but there were glimpses of it. I don't think it was a terrible coaching job. Do you?
Well, I go back to, like, how do you feel about taking a knee at the end of the half against Miami?
Sure, I hated it.
Brutal.
Right? So, like, little things like that that you do sort of see and you say, oh, so this is what happens when you don't have an offense that can score and, you know, at a moment's notice, or a quarterback, you know.
So, look, all I'm saying is, Maz, that I think he had a bad year coaching. I think he had a really bad year general managing. Do I think he's on the decline or that he's run his course?
No, I don't feel that way either.
Me neither. Nope. I feel he's had ups and downs. You know, he had a real bad coaching year in 2009. How'd it go after that?
Right.
He had a really bad drafting run from, call it, like, 06 to 09. How'd he bounce back in 2010, 11, and 12? He had, fourth and two was in 2009.
Yeah, right.
Right, okay, so 2009. And, you know, what happened in 2011? What happened in 2014? Brady's different as an athlete. He gets to a certain age and has a certain, you know, level of play. Then you can say, okay. But as a coach, I don't see Bill getting senile. I don't see him, like, I don't see anything. I see him putting on weight. But other than that, yeah, I think he has good years and bad years like everybody else. And that's what I think we just went through, a bad year. I do not think he's run his course.
No, I don't think that that's the case either. I am interested in seeing that what it looks like without Brady, because Brady allows you to coach a certain way. And that's all I mean by that thing at the end of the half. Like, this whole idea of be aggressive, go get it. As soon as the offense didn't look right, Bill wasn't willing to do that. Like, you know.
Yeah, that was a mistake. That
was bad. But my point is, I think the mistake resulted from not trusting your quarterback.
Okay, there you go. Final word comes your way right after this. Felger and Maz from the Super Bowl. This hour of our program has been brought to you by Bubs Naturals Collagen Protein. Got some right here. In fact, just put it in my coffee. It's great for your skin, great for your hair, great for your gut. If you got a little leaky gut, that helps you with that as well. Bubs Naturals Collagen Protein. That brings you this hour. Final word is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire for the guaranteed lowest prices on tires. Go to Town Fair Tire because nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody, Murray.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Couple of pieces of sound to get to, and final word today. We'll start with this. Chris Mad Dog Russo of the Mad Dog on Sirius XM joined the show for his annual visit on Radio Row, and with that came more Belichick, and that now adds to 10 years of Chris Russo saying Belichick.
We all know how great Brady is. We all know how great Belichick is. Belichick is not a warm, fuzzy character. I like Belichick, but, you know, Belichick doesn't care about his Q rating. Belichick doesn't go out of his way to take care of the sport, per se. I guess I'd have to put my money on Brady and Belichick over Goff and McVay. Belichick is phenomenal.
It hurts Belichick. There's no way around it. It hurts Belichick. Now, it's a team thing and a Belichick thing. You know, Belichick's not Lombardi. All right, what Belichick did was wrong. From a legacy perspective, a lot of people think Belichick's Lombardi. I'll buy that. If you lose this game Sunday, I don't want to hear about Lombardi, because he's not. Lombardi wouldn't have lost this game, not two in a row to the same team. We know that Belichick's going to the Hall of Fame. We know Belichick's a Hall of Fame coach. Nobody's denying that. If Belichick loses to Manning and Coughlin again, where do I put Coughlin? For Brady and Belichick to have to win, and Coughlin outworks. But look at it that way, and I'm not from Boston. So to me, Belichick's still an all-time great. I think it serves Belichick right. Listen, Belichick's a great coach. He coached me anytime he wants. was he, 74-1, Belichick, New England with a lead. Belichick, Belichick, Belichick's a great coach. Belichick, 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 Belichick. I would say Belichick. Belichick's going to the Hall of Fame. Maybe Belichick. You trust Belichick, respects Belichick. Forget Belichick, they're due to lose a game. I mean, you know, even the great Belichicks, you know, sometimes you lose a game.
Brady or Jordan?
You know, Brady's got Belichick. Now, again, he's also won six. Brady's got a chance to do that here. He's really mad at Belichick because Belichick has told John Mara that Judge was the guy. McDaniels is really mad at Belichick because Belichick, who loves the Giants, Belichick's going to win without Brady. And Brady can win without Belichick for a year, too. I'm not disputing that. Belichick, 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 Belichick. I would say Belichick. Belichick's going to the Hall of Fame. Brady, Belichick.
Oh, that is...
It's really
the best. Annually the best.
It's just, no question about it. It just gets better and better, too.
Like the 1812 overture. Oh, my God.
And Maz, a little production maven this morning in his hotel room, put together this ode.
Doesn't meet your standards, Murray.
But still, who do you think this ode is for? This is Binky. Go ahead.
We completed the trade papers with San Francisco. And first of all, I have a... tremendous amount of respect for Jimmy. And we'll always love you. I couldn't ask for him to give us any more than he's given us.
Second down and four. Garoppolo dropping back, looking to throw. Lobs it down the left side. Hogan wide open. Has it at the 10 in stride. Goodbye. Touchdown, Patriots.
Attaboy, Jimmy.
49ers are getting a good player, they're getting a good person, and they're getting a great teammate, and they're getting a good quarterback, and Jimmy's getting a good coach. Bittersweet
memory. Shotgun snap, four-man rush. Ruppel fires down the middle. Fort Bennett on the money, and on time, touchdown Patriots.
Oh boy, we got a quarterback here. Big boy throw.
He's a talented individual. And was a great person to coach. I met with him weekly.
Garoppolo stands at the gun. He takes the step. He looks to the right with a pump. He shot slides to his left. He throws downfield. Amendola makes a leaping catch at midfield and lands at the 48-yard line.
What a play by Garoppolo. What an unreal play. What pocket presence and poise on third and forever.
We probably had, in my opinion, the best quarterback situation in the league for the last, call it, 2.5 years. It's just not sustainable.
Garoppolo throws on the move. Finds Mitchell. Makes the catch at the 20. Pushed back by Jones.
Garoppolo is hurt, man. And he got driven into the carpet on that shoulder. Yeah, his shoulder's bad, man.
Definitely not something that we wanted to walk away from. And I felt like we rode it out as long as we could. But just at this point, felt like we had to make a decision.
Wrote it out as long as he could, just like Maz did with his pillow that he put the Garoppolo jersey on when he was done making this morning.
Can I add one more piece of sound real quick, Jimmy? Do you mind? Just because I love this. Do you want to hear, folks, what it sounds like when Felger and Maz get a little take?
this is the highlight of the day.
They get just a little morsel of potential takes down the road and a little morsel of juice. How we, like hyenas on a carcass. This is Brandon Lang. He's a handicapper, a tout in Vegas. And so we were asking him to handicap the Brady thing and Vegas and everything. And listen to what he said and listen to how we reacted. First, I want you to handicap Brady's next landing spot.
Exactly.
It's one of two places. It's San Diego or LA. It's San Diego or Vegas.
Ooh. You don't think
the Patriots are out?
You think the Patriots are out?
No, I'm saying if he doesn't go to the Patriots, word on the street is he bought a home in Vegas.
Okay.
Really?
Stand by.
Now we're talking.
Okay, stand by. Could not have been more excited.
No, like, hold everything.
Yeah. Really, that thing runs that runs the gamut. You got, wow, Matt.
Now we're talking.
And then after you catch yourself, wait a minute. Hold on.
Let's just...
Okay.
Really?
Stand by.
Stand by.
Now we're talking.
Okay. Stand by.
All right. Stand by. Let's reset now and approach this from a professional manner.
Oh boy, were we excited!
A little bit of blood flow. I thought we were just gonna get another interview.
Okay.
Okay.
Really?
Stand by. Stand by.
Now we're talking.
Okay. Stand by.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.